Chapter 9. An Evening at the Pub. When I thought about it later, I realised that our visit to the pub that evening was the turning point of our holiday. We'd been enjoying ourselves, but from that moment on, everything got better. I looked in the pub window and saw a notice offering a cheap special offer of meat pie and chips, a favourite with all three of us. Even better was the second notice in the pub window. It announced a pub quiz that evening at 8. Freddie, Guy and I were a great quiz team. I ran back to the boat to tell the others the good news. They were so delighted that they ran ahead of me to the pub and forgot all about Caesar. They usually reminded me to leave him tied up on the boat. Naturally, I said nothing. Caesar followed us to the pub, and I left him outside lying under a tree. I gave him strict instructions. "Wait here and behave yourself," I said firmly. "I'll bring you some lovely meat later." Caesar wagged his tail. I joined the others in the pub. It was beginning to get crowded, but we saw a free table and made our way towards it, carrying our drinks and large plates of food. Then we got our second surprise of the evening. At a table not far from ours were Sally, Kate and Jane. They smiled and waved.
"Hi," they called. "Good to see you again."
"Great to see you too," said Guy.
"Are you taking part in the pub quiz?" I asked.
"Of course,"
answered all three simultaneously.
"So are we," said Guy. "Let's have a drink together afterwards."
"Okay, after we beat you in the quiz,"
said Sally with a laugh. She seemed to laugh a lot. Guy liked girls with a sense of humour, and I could see he was totally fascinated by her. Freddie and I laughed too, fully confident that in reality we would beat the girls. I had to kick Freddie under the table to stop him speaking. I didn't want him to warn the girls what a great quiz team we were. The quiz was great fun. A lot of people in the pub took part in the contest, and there was a lot of joking and laughing. The girls were very good, although it was clear that Jane was the best of the three. I was beginning to be very attracted to her. She was pretty and intelligent, and I liked the fact that she was a great swimmer too. It was a hard contest, but in the end, we won the quiz, and the girls came second. Everyone congratulated us. The six of us moved to a table together, and we used some of our prize money to buy a celebration drink for all of us. We chatted happily for a while. Then Jane said,
"Where's that cute little dog of yours?"
"We left him tied up on the boat," said Guy. "He's our little guard dog." I could never hide anything from Guy. He knew me too well. He looked at my face and said accusingly,
"You didn't tie him on the boat, did you?"
"No, but don't worry," I replied quickly. "He's lying quietly outside. I'll just go and give him some meat." I took some leftovers from our plates and went outside. To my horror, Caesar had disappeared. "Oh dear," I thought. "I hope that he hasn't gone to the kitchen. I'd better go and see." I walked round the outside of the building to the back door. As I got near the kitchen door, I heard a voice coming from inside. Someone was standing with his back to me, talking on the public telephone next to the kitchen wall. It wasn't Shaw, but I thought it was Grim Jim. He was talking quietly. I stood still, hidden by the tree, and listened.
"Okay, okay, so the house is in Marlow," he was saying. "And when will they leave the house? Are you sure it'll be empty?"
It was clear from the conversation that Grim Jim was speaking to an accomplice. He was giving Grim Jim information about a house that would be empty. Were they going to burgle the house? It seemed likely. Grim Jim told his accomplice he'd spend the day at Maidenhead and row to Marlow when it began to get dark.
After the job, I'll row to the windmill pub. I'll moor the boat there and give you the stuff, he said. I'll call you around 3 a.m.
It was obvious the conversation was coming to an end, so I moved away silently and hid behind a car. Grim Jim left the public telephone and walked in the direction of the river. I saw him get into a boat and leave. I was dying to tell Freddy and Guy what I'd heard and seen, but I had to wait. When I got back to our table, they were flirting with the girls, and I joined the fun. When Jane asked about Caesar, I said he'd gone for a run. It wasn't exactly a lie. He was certainly running around somewhere. I just didn't want to think about what else he was doing. Finally, the girls got up to leave. Kate said, "Would you like to meet us in Marlow tomorrow afternoon? We can walk around a bit and have dinner together." We agreed, and left Guy to make the arrangements. As soon as the girls left, Guy turned to me. I was sure that he was going to shout at me for not leaving Caesar on the boat, but I stopped him. "Forget Caesar now," I said. "I've got something important to tell you." I told Guy and Freddy about Grim Jim's telephone conversation, and they were very excited. We discussed telling the police, but weren't sure that they would believe us. In the end, we decided that we'd try and get some evidence first. Our discussion was interrupted by an enormous commotion outside, which pushed all thoughts of Grim Jim out of our heads, at least for a short while.